Well, it's Baptism Sunday. And I am excited about Baptism Sunday. It reminds me of the day I got baptized. I got baptized on Valentine's Day in 1988. I am actually that old, okay? And so Valentine's Day, 1988, I rocked up to church. And our church was quite a small building, but under the stage, there was a baptismal tank. And so they filled it all with water. It was a lot warmer than what it's going to be today. Just to let you all know that. And sorry, Lucy. Okay, but they say it's good for your hair to wash it in freezing cold water. So we're just helping you along there, helping Neil also. So I rocked up to my baptism with this big bag, and like everyone is looking, and at the same time getting baptized, me were a few other blokes, and they just kind of rocked up with a pair of shorts. Do you know what I mean? So I rocked up with my bag, and they were like, "Joe, what's in the bag?" And it was like, you know, Mary Poppins bag that just like you just keep pulling things out of all the time. Well, there was the hairdryer. There weren't straighteners invented in those days. Okay. But there was like all my makeup. And I didn't even really know how to put makeup on, but I had loads of it because it was in the days where you used to get your pocket money and you used to go down to the cheap makeup shop and buy the worst makeup in the world and never actually wear it. But you looked quite cool as a girl if you had loads of makeup, like you knew what you were doing. Okay. So, like, I rocked up with, like, all my stuff, and our church was just one hall. So, like, I had to put all my stuff in the kitchen because that's hygienic, isn't it? Someone doing their hair in the kitchen, and that won't be happening today. And so, like, just kind of rocked up and got baptized. The thing that I never thought of, and I did when I was doing, like, the baptismal class thing, I did warn Lucy of this. The thing that I never really thought about was when I prepared and got ready for my baptismal service. You want to look nice on these occasions. Okay, so like I'd done my hair, the perm. Oh, yeah. And I'd done my hair and put my makeup on and didn't have the money to buy waterproof mascara. No, I didn't. So, like, I got in there, and it's all, like, really surreal, and they're reading the Bible verse, and they're praying for me. And we had a song that we used to sing when everyone came up out of the water. We're not going to do that either today. And so, like, you know, they kind of all go, and I got out of the pool, and I could just see my mum just kind of stood there going, I'm like, why is she doing that? It's a great day. She should be proud. And it's just like, and I could see she was near to laughing. And I went in the kitchen and I looked in the mirror and I was 14, right? So you never just put a little bit of makeup on when you're 14, do you? Okay. And I was 14. So like I had like, it was glooped together, the mascara, because I'm still not very good at putting that on. So the mascara was glooped together, only it hadn't stayed on my eyelashes, but it had kind of began to run down my face. And I kind of came up looking like something, I don't know, out of a Dracula movie or something like that. And it was just absolutely horrendous. And I was wondering why, as I walked back into the kitchen, because that's where the girls got changed, everyone was kind of laughing rather than cheering me on, okay, and all that kind of stuff. But I kind of remember my baptism really well. I remember the day that I decided to publicly let everybody know I belong to Jesus. There is no one else. I'm ruined for anything else. I was 14 years old, and I made this monumental decision that for the rest of my life, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm yours. This is it. Let's start the journey together. And it was an absolutely, apart from the mascara disaster, it was an absolutely amazing day in my life. And what I want us to do is to, I've got three really simple points to bring to us this morning as I talk on baptism. I want us to read from Luke chapter 3. We're just going to read three verses, starting at verse 21. And it says this, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. If Jesus needed it, even though he'd never done anything wrong, how much more did I need it? And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, this is God speaking, saying, you are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. And after he'd been baptized, Jesus began his earthly ministry. And for 3 years, he went around and he would heal the sick and he would tell parables and he would, you know, lame people would start walking. Blind people would receive their sight. Jesus did incredible things on the earth. And it all started when he was baptized. And although Jesus was perfect, he knew making a public declaration of his surrender to God was important. Because baptism's about surrender. It's about giving your life to God and saying, I'm going to follow you forever. And in our church, just like in the Bible times, okay, we dunk people right under the water and then bring them straight back up. Okay, my daughter said, do we keep them there for 10 seconds? I'm glad she said 10 seconds and not 10 minutes, okay? But we do it in full immersion, because what happens is that all the things that we have done wrong, all the things that have separated us from God, as we're put under the water, we get rid of all of those things. And as we come out of the water, we're raised to new life in Christ. That's what baptism is all about. But what I want to do is I want to look at Jesus' baptism and look at what God said to him. Three statements that God made to Jesus on the day he was baptized. And I just want to talk about them a little bit today. Three statements. The first one, you are my son. He gave him identity. The second one, you're my son whom I love. He gave him acceptance. And the third one is in whom I am well pleased. He affirmed Jesus. And what I want to do just very briefly this morning, just in the few moments that we've got, is look at those three statements and how they can affect us. Because you know what? When we get to know God, he says the same thing over our life. I love that. You know, as I got baptized when I was 14 years old, just this kid who hadn't got a clue about anything really, God said the same three things over my life, and he still says it today. And so what I want to do is look at those three statements and how they can affect us. The first one is, you are my son. And the first thing I want to say to us this morning is that our identity is that we're a child of God. If we know God, if we have a personal relationship with him, our identity is the fact that we are a child of God. Whatever we have known humanly when we came to Christ, whatever we have experienced in our life, where it comes to our identity and knowing who we are, is nothing. When we get to know Jesus, we're known as his child. You're my son, you're my daughter. And as Neil and Lucy are baptized this morning, the same things are said over their life. You're my son, you're my daughter. Your identity is found in him. And it's strange, really, that both Neil and Lucy talked about their identity in their story. You know, when they came and gave their story, they talked a bit about their identity. And when we know God, we need to realize that actually our identity is found in him. God set Jesus apart from his earthly family to confirm who he was. So Mary and Joseph had brought Jesus up to this point. You know, he'd been at home in the family business. He'd been, the only thing we really read about in his childhood was when he went to the temple and got left there. Like someone actually left the Son of God somewhere and lost him, okay? And that's all we read about, really, about his childhood. He was a regular kid who didn't do anything wrong. That's the irregular bit probably about him. If you're a parent in here, say amen, okay? But God needed to let him know, actually, Jesus, your identity is in me. Your identity, you're my son. What is it this morning that tells you who you are? What is it this morning that gives you your identity? Does your past give you your identity? This is who I've always been, so this is who I'm always going to be. Is your past speaking to you this morning and telling you nothing will ever change? This is who you are. You've always been this way. You've always had this problem. You've always felt like this. This morning, I want to say there's a new way to feel. And there's a new identity to have when you realize what God can do in your life. Does your family set your identity? That might be positive, it might be negative. Do they set who you are? Do they tell you who you are? This morning I want to tell you that there is a greater family in God who wants to tell you this morning who you are. Who wants to let you know this morning who you are? Do your friends set your identity? We've got a lot of young people in this morning. Do your mates set your identity? This is who you are. This is who you're going to be. No. From the age of 14, I made the decision, actually, God, I am yours. You set my identity. And it doesn't matter sometimes how much I felt like I wasn't the same as everybody else. That was okay because I knew who I was in him. He set my identity. I'm called. I'm chosen. I'm his child. He loves me. Okay, I can go through anything and he is there right beside me. This morning, I want to say it doesn't matter what these other things say over your life. Your identity needs to come from God. Does your identity come from your bank balance, from your income, from the status of your job, or lack of? This morning, our identity needs to come from him. Because he is the one who knows us more than anyone. He is the one who knows our future as well as our past. He is the one who sees every detail of our present and knows that actually if we would just come and say, God, you can have it all. You can have the good, the bad, and the ugly. It is all yours, that he can begin to shape who we are. He can begin to shape who we could be. God here told everyone who could hear who Jesus was. I love that. This is my son. You may all know him just as Jesus of Nazareth. You may all know him just as the carpenter's son. You may all know him just as the kid who might have used to play near your backyard. You may all have known him in one way or another, but I am here to tell you right now, he's my son. This is his identity. What you identify with is what will set the limitations in your life. Do you feel life's got limitations at the moment? You're stuck. You can't get anywhere else. Where your identity comes from is what will set your limitations. This morning, you can live a limitless life when your identity comes from God. Jesus' identity was in who he was. It wasn't in anything else. And in whose he was. This morning, the world tries to tell us who we are, who we should be, who we could be if we just have this or if we just have that or if we get this loan or if we do this or if we do that or if we get these exam results, then everything will be fine because this is who you will be. Do you know what? Our identity is in none of that stuff. This morning, when we know Jesus, our identity is in him and what he says about us. He says, I'm loved. He says, I'm the apple of his eye. I'm very blessed. I've got an earthly father who would say that as well. But I've got a heavenly father who says it over me. He says that I have a future. He says that I can have hope in him. He says I'm chosen. He says I'm loved. He says I'm precious. He says that he knows everything about me and yet he still loves me unconditionally. When our identity is in him, we will truly know who we are. The second thing that God says, he says, you're my son, number one. He gave him identity. The second thing he said is, whom I love. I love this. He gave Jesus acceptance. And this morning, we have acceptance. Even if you don't feel you have it anywhere else. This morning in God, he says over your life, do you know what? I love you. I love you. It doesn't matter where your life is right now. It doesn't matter what state it might be in. This morning, he says, I love you. I love that God said this. If you read the Old Testament, usually when God spoke, it was because someone had done something wrong. Usually when God spoke, it was to bring judgment. It was to bring discipline. It was to tell them off. I love that the first time in the New Testament where God spoke from heaven, this is what he says, I love you. Jesus, you're my son and I love you. He didn't speak judgment. He spoke love over his son. He declared his love for everybody to hear, for the son that he had sent from heaven, get this, to die for you and me. He loved Jesus so much that he publicly told him, the voice came from heaven, you're my son, whom I love. And then the Bible says this, but God loved the world so much that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. That son that he shouted from heaven that he loved, he gave up for you and he gave up for me. This morning we have an acceptance in God that we will not find anywhere else. He speaks his acceptance over you today. That son who he shouted from heaven, Jesus, I love you. He gave for you. He allowed to die on a cross for you, because actually he wants there to be acceptance for you this morning into his family. What happens when we know we are accepted? We become confident. If you walk into a room where you know you're accepted, you can walk in confident. You know, we become confident in who we are. We stop looking for approval all the time because we know we're accepted. So we don't have to do things and behave in a certain way to give his approval. We're happier. When you know, when I walk into a room and I don't know people, I'm cautious. I'm looking around to find the one person who I do know. Okay, but when I walk into a room and I know I'm accepted, I walk in with a smile on my face, absolutely loving where I am. When you're accepted, you can walk into a room and you know that you belong. You relax with those around you. And I was preaching at the church a few months ago and then came back here and walked in to stay and play. And as I walked in, all the kids decided to come and jump on me. Okay, when you walk into a room where you're accepted, you relax with those around you. And I wasn't like, get these kids off me. You know, they were just like, Joe! I'm like, I'm going to go away and preach a bit more often on stay and play days because this is ace. And I'm just going to come back and they can all run to me and hug me and it'd be absolutely fantastic. When you walk into a place where you're accepted, you begin to look forward. You begin to know that there's something else out there. You begin to believe in yourself. We live in a world where so many people don't believe in themselves because of the way that life has gone. But when you know that you're accepted, even if life doesn't always go the way that we think it should go or the way that we want it to go, our acceptance can make us believe in ourselves. Acceptance is the key to living well. And whereas we may not always feel that from those around us, you need to know today, I want to let you know, God screams from heaven over your life. I love you. I love you. You're accepted with me. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that we have a hope and a future in the one who accepts us. His plans over our life are perfect, and we have a hope and a future in the one who accepts us. And thirdly, God affirms Jesus. You're my son whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. I think this is one of my favorite statements God makes over Jesus when he was baptized. Jesus here was nearly 30 and had done nothing yet. He hadn't done anything. He hadn't gone and healed loads of people. He hadn't fed the 5,000. You know, he hadn't, you know, Peter hadn't walked on water yet. He hadn't even picked his disciples yet. Jesus come and he's baptized and God says, Jesus, you're my son whom I love and with you I am well pleased. You know what, this morning, if you want to please God, it has nothing to do with what you do. God's affirmation is over your life whether you're doing anything or not. Before Jesus did anything, this is such a lesson for us Christians to learn. Before Jesus did anything, God's affirmation was all over him. His affirmation didn't come when he had fed the 5,000. I mean, imagine being there. That would be one heck of a stay and play, wouldn't it? You know, there's only one of the kids brought a pack up. And there's all of us. I mean, I watch and there's like about 40 of us at stay and play. And like my pack up would not feed the 40 of us. Nowhere near. Okay, one kid brings 5 loaves and 2 fish. Man, if I was Jesus' dad, when he had done that, I would be like, Jesus, you are amazing. You are absolutely fab. Well done. I am so pleased with what you've just done. But actually, before Jesus had done anything, God lets him know, I'm pleased with you. Do you know what? This morning, before you do anything for God, God's pleased with you. God affirms you. He sends his affirmation over your life. I can remember when I was coming up to my GCSEs and my parents were just legends where it comes to stuff like this. I have learned a lot from them and they never put any pressure on us to do well in exams. None. They said, all we ask is that you try your best. And if you try your best, you know what? Whatever you come out with, we will celebrate. Whatever you come out with, we will think is brilliant. As long as you've done everything you can do, try your best, Joe. And so I try my best. And to be honest, when I got that piece of paper, for me, the results were really good. But compared to most of the people in my year, I'd done absolutely rubbish. So I had to go on to sixth form and resit some GCSEs, not because I didn't work hard, just because I can't do exams, and I really struggled with it. And but when I got that piece of paper and I went home and I got three grade C's and everything else was below, okay? And I went home, my mum was like, that is amazing, Joe. Well done. Absolutely fantastic. Like, compared to everyone else, I'd done rubbish. But like, in my mum's eyes, because of who I am to her, she was like, you are amazing. I went on and I resat some and I got some better grades and they celebrated that. And then the sixth time that I took my maths GCSE, I passed it. And they absolutely said, you know what? They didn't put the pressure on and tell me I was no good and you failed it again. And come on, Joe, you can do better. All they said was, Joe, as long as you're trying your best, we're going to celebrate every success and every failure. You see, the thing is, God affirms you without you doing anything for him. When you come to God, you are affirmed. This world puts huge pressure on us to perform, and that, you know what, can come into the church, but it's not from God. I don't get affirmation from God when I preach a good sermon or when I lead a good meeting or when, you know, new people walk into church that morning or when we do something good as a church. God loves all of that. And he cheers me on and he cheers you on. You don't get affirmation from God because of what you do for him. You get affirmation from God because you are his child whom he loves. I love this. I don't have to work for God to love me. God screamed from heaven when Jesus Christ died on a cross, you're my child, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. When God created Adam and Eve, before they had done anything, before they had tended to the garden, and before they had walked in the cool of the day, as Genesis tells us they did with God, before they had done anything, this is what God said. That when he'd made man, he looked at them and he said, that is very good. They had done nothing, yet he affirmed them. And this morning, I don't know where you are in God, but I want to tell you that this morning he screams from heaven, you're my child. He gives you an identity. You know, you may feel maybe a little bit like Neil did, that there's no identity because of the way that life was when you were younger. You know, God screams from heaven, you're mine. You're mine. You may not feel like you're anyone else's, but this morning, you're mine. You're my child. I love you. And with you, I'm well pleased. Whether you have done anything for me or not, I am just pleased with you this morning. And this morning, before we're going to go down in a moment and we're going to pray over Lucy and Neil again when they're in the water, and we're going to read some of the Bible to them that they can take away with them and go, God, this is the promise over my life. But before we do that this morning, I just want to say to you, I don't know where you are in God. I know most of you in here this morning, but I don't know if you've ever had the chance to get to know God. To get to know and have a personal relationship with him. But when he shouted from heaven over Jesus's life, he was also shouting it over yours. Because the one he shouted over that he loved, he allowed to die for you and for me. Why? Because he shouts the same thing. You're my child, whom I love, and with you, before you do anything for me, I'm pleased with you. And some of you may not have heard that from anyone else. Some of you may not have had the kind of thing that I had when I was growing up, and I heard that a lot from my mum and dad, and I hear it a lot in my home now. We have a thing where we say to our kids, we'll look at them and we'll go, Caitlin, guess what? And it's the first one, it's a bit of a race then to see who the first one to say I love you is. Our kids, when they don't know what to say to us, they'll go, Mum, you know when they do that thing when they're asking you and they're shouting you, but you know that they have nothing whatsoever to say to you. They go, Mum, Mum, Mum. And eventually I'll turn and go, what? And you're busy and you're doing something. They'll just go, I love you. Because we want to cultivate a thing in our home where that is the most used phrase that we have. Because I want them to grow up knowing you're my child. I love you. And whether you do anything, whether you get the best grades or not, Caitlin and Ollie, we just love you because you're ours. And this morning, God screams that over your life. Whether you think you're a success or not, to God is irrelevant. You're a success because he created you and he thinks you're very good.